Let me see. Oh, we do appear. Just like chaos. Oh, we do appear to be live. So, hey everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Let me hit this quick intro graphic and then we'll be going. This episode is sponsored by NordVPN. I've been using NordVPN for years since it doesn't log your data, has over 5,300 super fast servers in 59 countries, and I can pay in my favorite cryptocurrency, Dash, which is important since I'm unbanked. Take back your online privacy. Sign up now with the promo code DCN and get 68% off, or just $3.71 per month, plus an additional month free. Go to nordvpn.org/DCN or use the coupon code DCN. So, hey everyone, bet you didn't expect to see me today, or this guy. This guy, sorry. Hey, so this is what I'd be calling the Digital Cash Rundown Episode 1. Basically, we were doing a more Dash-focused podcast every week for several years. And then I decided to do stuff independently, and then I'd move that to every other week. But there was this void in my heart that is Friday when there's no smack to be talked about the random goings on about the crypto stuff. And while I didn't feel like we should just do more Dash related stuff, because that might be a little too much. I decided, hey, why not do something completely new? And so here we are. This is the Digital Cash Rundown, episode 1. The timing of this is experimental. We may not continue to do this at this time, but I figured I'd get my good buddy, Kurt Wickert Jr., to be the guy, the second man for this inaugural episode. And because I know that he is not an idiot and he has some good opinions on stuff, and a lot of good, even what opinions I disagree with are come from some space of some kind of part of quality and thought. So, you know, you passed all the bare minimums, buddy. How's it going?
Pretty good, Joel. Good to see you. And I'm honored to join the first episode on this thing. So,
yes.
I also appreciate the fact that even when I'm wrong, at least it was a well-thought blunder on my part.
Yes. So we'll get a couple things out of the way first. First, this thing is sponsored by NordVPN, which is what I use. And you could pay in Dash or other cryptos, which is great. And so if you go to nordvpn.org/DCN, you can save like 68%, and it's great. And I'll give you more links in the description, stuff later. And, of course, I have a little outro at the end about that. So I don't want to waste too much time on that, because I really like this whole CoinTree Super Chat feature, which if you see down at the bottom here, every time you want to join like a Super Chat and you want to just leave a message that can show up live on the broadcast, you just spend a little crypto and it goes there. And then once I make sure you're not saying something horrifically racist or something, there have been a few of those, once I've screened that back end, I pop it out right here, and then there you go, you get to see it. So you go to cointr.ee/thedesertlinks, which is my fun little moniker, and then you can just leave a message with a donation. It'll show up right there. So now that's all the way, let's get to the meat of this stuff. It's never a dull day in crypto, never a dull week, and the thing that everyone is, of course, crazy about today and yesterday, etc., is Uniswap.
Oh, yeah.
So this Uniswap, and let me just give my perspective on Uniswap. I almost used it the other day. That's kind of where I'm at, because I wanted to trade some kind of a miner token that I couldn't find on anything else. And I was like, oh, this is Uniswap thing. Why don't you do all this stuff and put collateral? And I'm like, all right, I don't know. I didn't want to figure it out. And then I realized that, oh, everyone who got that just got their UBI check, their Trump bucks, except instead of Trump bucks, it's UBI bucks. So first off, what do you make of this UBI of Uniswap throwing a bunch of tokens at just about everyone who used it?
Oh, I mean, that's the... That's the best way to get somebody excited about your new token. Maybe scam, but like, hey, we print them out of nowhere, so let's give them away because they've got some epic amount of value. What I think is more interesting is that they debuted on I believe they debuted on Coinbase and Binance simultaneously. So you get kind of the FOMO from the people who are like, oh, I'm willing to trust Coinbase to list something that isn't trash. And, you know, so then you get that run up. And then, I mean, if you're printing money out of thin air, why not give it away? I mean, that's what Trump Bucks is all about. And apparently Uniswap, you know, they're taking a page out of the old print money and make people happy playbook. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's marketing genius, I suppose. I don't know if it's good for sound money or any kind of revolution for freedom or anything like that, but
yeah, you know, yeah, hey. That's definitely for sure. And in case you're watching live on something like YouTube and you saw the background change, I got a little overloading codec kind of a thing, too much stuff going on, too much encoding. So yeah, we're gonna have to deal with the stable background for now. I'm sorry, I tried to do the spinny bells and whistles and then it was just too much. Yeah, so the thing about this Uniswap thing is, first off, a lot of people have been saying, is it a security? Is it an unregistered security? Because they basically gave a governance type token to everyone who used it. And does that run into murky territory? Well, first off, what's your take on that?
I mean, I think almost every cryptocurrency is an unregistered security. I mean, securities law is pretty clear about those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if people are primarily using any asset as something to trade, then yes. that's just the definition of a security right there. It already fails the Howey test for whether it is or is not. If something, on the other hand, was used primarily as cash, that's a different story. That's been, you know, going on 8 years of advocacy on my part. Like, hey, if you use it as money, it's not a security. But if you're just, you know, buy to sell later and, you know, whatever, it creates the problem for everybody, frankly. So even coins that are intended to be cash, and that would include, you know, Bitcoin Cash and Dash and Litecoin or everything else, like I think they all sort of become de facto securities just because. So
So
then it comes down to like developer intent, I guess. But the law, you know, doesn't necessarily care what you tried to do. It's about what you did. So
yeah, and that's always a the regulation conversation is kind of a funny one with crypto, because crypto, I mean, obviously there's all kinds of arguments about the founding intent, but the founding, well, one could call like the founding community, the people that were there around the beginning and in all the early years, were very much in the cypherpunk ethos, very much anti everything, very much screw the banks. This is just, you know, this is the replacement to the old systems. And so that's a very much anti-regulation kind of an angle. And at some point, I think that the crypto world as a whole transferred to something that's a lot more happy about regulation, but in an unaddressed way. This isn't like, yeah, you know what, but it's a good thing. It's just kind of a, this is huge because crypto's going mainstream and my bags are going to become heavier. Like my bags are going to become, you know. And so that, and it's kind of like, from anything gets properly regulated, that's awful. And then to this whole thing where you're celebrating it, but still haven't kind of come to terms of, well, is regulation a good thing or a bad thing? Especially, or if, and beyond regulation, who should do the regulating? So what is your kind of position on that whole thing?
I mean, there's the, you know, purely like Machiavellian, like if you can't beat them, join them. So, I mean, in theory, it could be like, you know, do I care as long as I get rich? Like, you know, like, and that's, I hate that. I really am a purist when it comes to like, hey, like there's a reason we're here.
And at some point,
The thing that I actually care about is freedom and the creation of business opportunity, I think is sort of the bridge between the like, crypto is just an investment versus crypto is, you know, just anarchy cash. Like, I think the bridge there is like, can these tools be used to add value to business? And I think if we can sort of bridge that gap, like we can deal with some regulation as long as we're creating so much innovation that, you know, that regulation looks obsolete, that it looks like something like, ah, this is silly. Like we're putting too much work. We're stifling innovation. Cause I think government actually, like they can be reasonable, especially like when you think of the people that are making the kind of policies that would go into regulating cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
You know, there are guys that are into it too, because the, you know, like government is just made up of people. And if there are some reasonable people in those roles, like, I think that there's a, you know, maybe a half step revolution that can be had there, but attitude's got to be there. And really there's got to be a lot of work that goes into it. You know, guys like you and I have been advocates for a long time, but we really need people to make business. And I think that's the crucial step that we don't see a lot of people doing. Like there are a few exceptions, but
yeah.
So now we need that momentum
with security token offering type things. It seems like the issue is unregistered security, mm-hmm. and that registered securities are a good thing, or they exist and people, you know, they are what they are, and right. that's fine. The unregistered part is what's not. Now, of course, the argument is it's great. They're great. They just don't appeal to that same authority. So is the unregulated securities a bad thing? Is that more of a purely practical thing? Whereas then you can get in trouble, or it moves the space backwards by just having all this lawlessness, or is it actually like, no, they should actually be properly regulated. It doesn't matter, you know, that they're bucking the trends.
I think people need to earn the right to self-govern. Like I really have my worldview is very much ANCAP. I look at myself and say, I'm perfectly capable of governing myself. I'm a pillar of my community, you know, whatever. But, you know, and that's how most people feel about themselves. But then they look at other people and say, well, I can't trust them. They're all criminals, you know. So it's kind of a chicken or the egg thing. You know, do we need to have somebody make sure everybody does the right thing? And the answer is maybe. And that kind of disappoints me, because I feel like if good people were to do the right thing and unregistered securities, you know, were not primarily exit scams, I think then we can make the case like, hey, government, like you've been overstepping and stifling innovation for generations here, because look, we can have an economy that functions well and isn't screwing people by and large, or you know, there's that, you know, 5% of fraud or whatever that you'd expect in any given market. Mm-hmm. The problem is with crypto, I would argue it's, you know, 75-90% scams. So then it makes the case that, like, well, you know, that's why you don't do unregulated trading and investment. And then it's like, well, yeah. Shoot, guys, you went and made us all look bad, and then you make the bad guys in government look like heroes. So, you know, it's a big problem. Like, and that's why I say we need real business people. We need somebody to be an example and do something that is, you know, gray market, maybe a little bit like, you know, I stepped on some toes and, you know, broke a couple of minor regulatory things, or maybe a law or two that's outdated. But ultimately everybody, you know, is better because of it. Like that's what we need. We need guys to really be showing that the gray market is a good place and not just a testing ground for exit for scams awfulness. And Ponzi schemes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of my perspective on thing is I see government regulation as a short to possibly midterm reality. Like it is a thing.
Yeah, there's not a way around it.
I don't like it at all. I'm very much against it, but I'm against government regulation. I'm not against regulation. And that's the hair split that I really hope. Well, where I try to invest all my time is trying to fix the problem without defaulting back to the old solution to the problem. And I understand that there will be defaulting. I'm not going to encourage the defaulting, but I'm not going to like spend all my time raging against either. And one thing I noticed when you talk about like a 75-90% scams, that kind of reminds me of a lot of these crypto social media platform type things where it does not cost anything to post, but you can get something of value from it. So for example, like, you know, should we name names? Yeah, maybe. So great. I'm a huge fan and user of the library platform, and it's great. And they're experimenting with a few different comment features, which hopefully should fix some of these things. For example, requiring someone to tip one credit in order to comment. That's the way it is in the mobile app right now, not so much in the desktop site yet. But there are people that just say, I follow you, follow me. Just that's like a ton of those comments. And then you go in there and they just want you to follow them because if they have so many followers, they unlock like a reward and they get some money. And then and Uptrend is the same thing, because Upvote, it's like a Reddit, but Upvotes give you money, and everyone just says like some random word salad that if you're really lazy, you think that they read the article, but if you like spend 3 to 3.5 seconds, it's no. And it just like, you could tell they just saw part of the headline and just word saladed. And then there's a copy paste of the comment by a different account right below it. And you're just like, I see what you're doing here. But my whole idea on all that is, let's figure out a way that the system self-regulates and tweak the system so it works. And then you don't need moderation, which is government. You don't need an outside thing coming in. And that reminds me, is a good another point, a good segue point, is reminds me of Twitch, which is probably my favorite, you know, non-traditional social media thingy. I don't think it's perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but it's doing a bunch of interesting things that nothing else is doing, really. And so Twitch is the Bitcoin SV Twitter. And basically, what Twitch does is you have to pay a couple cents, something horrible, like a couple cents. Let me just say it's horrible.
I think it's a nickel, or it's 2 cents to post, or it's a nickel if there's a photo or something embedded.
And it's like, that's garbage. It's way too much. I still pay it. I guess who's the fool here, right? But it's basically, you don't have a lot of spam comments on there because it's just too expensive and it kind of regulates. So on that subject of Twitch, then, Twitch just came out with this encrypted DM feature. I don't know, have you used that very much? Are you into that?
Quite a bit, actually. So I'm in a couple of groups with some of the guys. I'm actually friends with the founders of Twitch, full disclosure. So I'm in a chat group with them and probably 30 other people that are kind of involved in like media and development and stuff in the BSV space. And we all we call our group the Inklings, which is a nod back to Tolkien and C.S. Lewis and stuff.
Of course.
We talk about
all
culture
that nerdy and garbage.
Yeah, culture and politics quite a bit. Bitcoin obviously is a common subject and that kind of thing. But I think the big differentiator for Twitch is it's proof of work, right? I mean, like when you talk about Uptrend or even, you know, things like Steemit, or you can even go back to like yours.org and stuff, right? Like, you know, some of the stuff was like, well, it's free to post and hopefully you'll get tips and whatever else. And, you know, I remember yours.org being a valuable place until people started to show up there and, you know, nothing but, oh, my kid has cancer and please donate. And this is the only place I can beg for money.
E-begging. And, bro, please, bro. Can I get out of my village? There's a lot of that.
Right there is the problem. Like, that's the problem Bitcoin was invented to solve, is this sort of like this constant Sybil attack. And you do it with a little bit of proof of work, a little bit of just something. You know, the fact that like a nickel can be such an effective spam filter.
Yes.
I think is validation of the Bitcoin model more than anything right there.
So, I mean, obviously, that's something that I already kind of instinctively understand.
Yeah,
but I didn't quite make the terminology connection to Sybil attack until just now. So I'm going to start calling. That's going to be my whenever there's like low value people commenting, I'm just going to call them Sybils from now on.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's exactly what they are.
It's like, that's going to be my new OK boomer is OK Sybil. Just like dismiss the crap out of them. You have no value here. Get out of here. Yeah. So Twitch with this encrypted messaging thing. First off, I've used it a couple times currently, and I don't know if this is going to stay. You have to pay like $10 to enable the feature, and to borrow a way outdated meme, ain't nobody got time for that. Like, I'm not going to pay $10 just to, like, you know how many coffees that is? That's like two if they're pumpkin spice lattes. So that's way too many.
Maybe I'm a little less than two. Yeah,
but well, it depends.
Depends what size you get, right?
Yeah. So it's basically, so how much does it cost to actually send a message, or do you know, or does it cost?
It's free. So once you've bought the feature, it does use your Bitcoin keys as identity. So that's your fingerprint to prove who you are. It works actually quite a bit like Keybase does for anybody that has experience there.
Yeah.
So you're validating your identity using Bitcoin keys rather than, I think Keybase probably uses AES or you know, RSA encryption or whatever. And so too does Twitch chat. So, but they're just using the Bitcoin keys for identity, and then they're using AES for the encryption. So it's actually a really killer from an encryption standpoint. And it is an open protocol as well. Like, it's not owned by Twitch per se. They're just sort of facilitating the interface. But I think a real good code ninja could probably use the interface without using Twitch's interface. But that's neither here nor there. I don't know how to do that, so I'm not encouraging or discouraging. But
yes, I have to say, there is competition heating up for this social media game. And yeah. I don't know if Moisty himself, or, you know, YZY, as he likes to call himself, I don't know if he's listening. And if so, dude, I'm not paying $20 for that interview. I do still want to interview, but I'm not giving you any money to do so. So stop trying. So
he has to make sure that he never becomes a communist. And the way to do that is to make sure you charge for everything.
I'll do $2. Okay, $2 and no revenue share. $5. That's my final offer. Anyway, this last month, I was spending a lot of time writing a big social media plan for other stuff. Mm. And then I got this like Twitch release, and I read it, and it's like, it almost felt like plagiarized, which it's just a great minds think alike kind of a thing, because it was like, he gets it too. Like, it's not like I'm like super, I just figured out something no one else has. Apparently, you know, the grand vision is similar. So this whole thing, yeah. If you're on Twitch and you want to pay $10, then you can get this encrypted messaging feature, which lets you pay people with BSV in the feature.
Right.
But here's the hack, right? You can message, all you need to do is one person needs to actually buy it. They can message you. They can initiate the message. You can respond.
Correct.
So basically what you got to do is just make sure you like tweet message people on Twitter, the free thing, the communist social media network.
Right.
And tell them, hey, message me on Twitch. And then they get to do it. And you get there to just skate free rider problem right there. Yeah. All right, what do you got next on our thing? Ethereum fees. So first off, do you use Ethereum at all?
Very little. I do have some stable coins. I don't really use Ethereum itself, but I use a wallet to keep like USDC or whatever, which requires a little bit of Ethereum. So I bet my Ethereum holdings are 0.1 ETH total. So I wouldn't say I'm heavily invested in ETH by any means.
Yes. So I don't really, I've always kind of been outside of the ETH bubble. Like I've just been over the years, just, this seems cool, or, this seems terrible or whatever. And but it's always been like, just kind of, I didn't have a use for it. And part of it was just that I'm the atypical crypto person and that I try to spend the stuff, and that's like all I care about. The other stuff I've had to use were things like, you know, I used Monero one time, don't judge me, just because someone paid me in it. And then I was like, all right, I got to do something with this. Oh, let's swap it for Dash, whatever. So that's what it ended up being. I have used Library quite a bit because I, you know, almost every day. In fact, it's probably the crypto project I use the absolute most, because I publish stuff every single day. Not every single day, but like more than 7 pieces of content per week, and they're not always on every, just always there. And then that transacts with the tokens to like reference it on chain. I get tips in it and all that kind of stuff. So this year I started doing that kind of stuff with Ethereum a little bit. There's a couple of projects. Like I do get, another thing that, so Presearch is this basically, think of it like a tokenized DuckDuckGo, that basically you get paid to search. It's like the Brave for search engines.
Yeah.
You get paid to search, and because they like, and you can stake your little tokens you make to actually put search, to actually advertise in the search engine, right? You know, like the sponsored slot. Anyway, so I got Presearches in Ethereum tokens. So I got some of those over the course of the year. And then I got some BAT, some basic attention token from Brave, which they have locked up because I can't, I don't have Uphold because I'm unbanked, no KYC. So basically, get rid of your shit token and just do whatever. But
I have a little bit of BAT too. And actually, I should give a shout out to BAT. I think BAT is like the least scammy project on Ethereum. So that's, that's my little endorsement there.
Now, as far as in Brave, it's annoying as crap because you have to do, even to have a referral code, you have to now now have like KYC, which is like just fiat.
I was like a beta tester, so I've been set up a long time. I don't know if that's
Probably not. It probably did change. But I do get that from, I use a site called Publish0x, or they just say it's called Publish, but it's a crappy name. Just call it what it is. And you publish 0x.com. And it basically, you just publish stuff, and you know, it's like a centralized blogging platform, but you know, it's like anyone can blog on it, and any user can tip through a pool of tips that they already have. So they, like, someone donates a big bunch of BAT or Loop Ring or DAI or now Ethereum. There's some like, and then they just have all this stuff, and they just, you can tip, and the tipper gets a piece of the tip, and then the end recipient gets it. And so I've like hoarded a bunch of these ETH shit coins kind of thing. And, you know, then of course I try to swap them out, and then they delayed withdrawals because ETH fees were so high that they're like, look, we're trying to pay you out. If we give you $40 in this stuff, but it costs us $10, it's not worth it. Right. And right now it's been incredible, like how high it is. Have you, in your bubble of the world, have you seen a lot of blowback on this?
Oh yeah. I mean, Ethereum, first of all, I think Ethereum is kind of a scam itself. It can't scale. It's good for 15 transactions a second before it basically completely breaks down. And we've known that since 2017. Anybody that was into the CryptoKitties revolution can attest to the fact that, hey, like this can't deal with a couple, you know, what, few tens of thousands of users trading cats on the internet. So Ethereum doesn't work. Now the fees, some of the highest fees, I saw a couple of screenshots of some people that had fees over $100. The highest fee that I saw was $347 was the fee. Pretty ridiculous. But it's all these people trying to trade on Uniswap using MetaMask and some of the other tools that they pile together for Ethereum. But Ethereum is it's got some good ideas, and it has the network effect, but it's just like BTC in the sense that it was designed to sort of sound like a good idea and accumulate value. And I think people are ignorant, frankly. I think people think that Ethereum's supposed to work, and therefore they're supposed to use it, and it doesn't, and they don't know what to do about it.
Yeah. That's kind of funny because, like, I've kind of come to a little bit of an uneasy truce with BTC in that it's not for me. I'm not using it, but I understand why it has value for people. And even when there's other things that could be better, I understand the liquidity, the fact that it's like a source code that everything backports to. Now, does BSV, by the way, backport from BTC from Bitcoin Core? Do you know?
No, not at all anymore. In fact, it's one of the only UTXO. I mean, technically, it is a software fork of BTC, but since the Genesis upgrade, it is a completely separate code base. They do not do any code sharing between Bitcoin Core since, I guess it was February, maybe late January this year.
Nice.
When the Genesis protocol came out, so it's completely separate. It still has the chain of signatures back to the Genesis block that all forks of Bitcoin share, but it's unique. As far as I'm aware, it's the only major copy paste, you know, where it's like, oh, Core updated this, we better, you know, copy and paste, you know, where relevant into our code base as
But so many projects use that, and there are some there's some like Dash that use it significantly, but a lot of things are starting to become difficult to backport. For example, not having replaced by fee in there, not having, you know, SegWit, and just a bunch of other things that are just becoming just much more difficult. So eventually, hopefully, maybe in the next year or so, there will be no more backports from there. But the reality is almost everything backports a lot of stuff. So as the mother code base, a living mother code base, not a dead mother code base yet. But as a living mother code base, there's a lot of value. Just all the liquidity and stuff like that has a lot of value. But
If I need to pay off a human trafficker, you got to use BTC.
Yeah, that's the real reason why Bitcoin is the number one privacy coin. Is because not because it works super well for that. It's probably one of the worst if you think about it. But it's just because, what are you going to do? You're going to use Monero and then you sell it on the one exchange it does Monero, so you know that you're the one who bought a child, because it's like, you know, the options are limited. Again, I'm being hyperbolic for comedic effect. But so Ethereum. Ethereum is one of those things where I never quite fully got. I got picked up on some of the hype, like, oh, this is exciting. You can do a bunch of self-executing stuff. And but I never got, like, what is it for? And I still haven't quite answered that question. My sort of answer is Ethereum is to solve first world problems. It's like the most first world coin. And it,
totally.
Take what I say with a grain of salt. I don't 100% believe everything I'm saying here. But it's like the most, it is like the white privilege coin, for lack of a better term. Sure. It's like all the stuff that's done on Ethereum, or the major things, tend to be luxury items. Like, you know, why do you need like an ENS domain to do this stuff? Like, is anyone really relying on that? Or basic attention token, where people are tired of, like, and I'm not talking, I mean, obviously I love BAT, right? But it's like, what, you're just so lazy that, like, you just want to be paid to use a browser? You want people to, like, just pay you to watch ads? Like, right. How spoiled are you? Like, in, you know, it's not like a necessity, but it's a cool thing. Or Uniswap, or like DeFi. DeFi is the ultimate thing, where there's this giant technical explanation thing behind just, you know, Wheel of Fortune, kind of just spin the wheel, slot machine. Yeah. And that's where the value is. No one needs DeFi. Well, again, this is me and my ignorance, by the way. I'm sure there's a lot of people that could need DeFi. Sure. But the way it is now, it excites people because you can say a long technical thing and then get to gamble.
Well, and that's Ethereum in a nutshell. Yeah. Like, here, I'm going to use a bunch of words that almost nobody understands. They're going to think I'm smart and invest in my garbage that makes me rich. And I think that's actually the Ethereum business model. Like, you know, something like DeFi. Mm-hmm. DeFi as it exists, I think, is total bullshit. I think it's a scam. I mean, most of the things that were big last month have already completely exit scammed. I mean, look at the sushi exit.
Yeah, all that we stuff. Moved like, past the produce phase of DeFi,
right,
and have moved on to the completed menu item phase.
Exactly.
And what will be next will be, like, you know, garbage can or dumpster, right. Dumpsterfy. And then after that, it'll be like sapling, or, like, you know,
right,
it'll be the whole circle of life.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's bullshit, because DeFi conceptually is something that the world does need. We have billions of people that are unbanked. And an actual trustworthy peer-to-peer lending economy, right? Hello, Joel. Like, but an actual peer-to-peer lending economy solves all kinds of problems for people.
Yeah,
you know, people like you in the first world who do it for, you know, moral and ethical reasons, but there are there are whole continents full of people that don't have even a public identity that would allow them to get a loan if they could get to a bank.
Yeah.
And DeFi is something that should absolutely be invested in, but it's not really being invested in at all. It's being paid lip service to make people that are, you know, roughly look like me and you, who are capable of being like, oh, okay, so I'll set up a MetaMask and a Uniswap account, and I'll get some ETH from here and there, and, you know, I'll buy some stupid token. It's going to go up 3,500% in 10 days, and I'm going to sell it. And that's, you know, that's not a revolution. It's a good trade,
but
that's not solving anybody's actual problems in the world. That's what I want to see done. Like, and every time there's an exit scam, it gets a little further away, because now in 2 years, when I'm like, hey, you want to talk about decentralized finance? And they're going to be like, yeah, I remember all the people that got screwed by that thing in the Bitcoin economy, you scammer. And it's like,
I'm waiting for DeFi Connect.
Right.
Just someone to just say it.
Oh, it's coming.
Yeah, I want someone to say it. Like, call their project DeFi Connect. Have a slightly, kind of like that Orange Theory fitness thing logo. Like, something a little bit like that. And just go with it and make it popular. Well, I want to see, you know, it's like a test of stupidity, sort of. But, yeah, so that's the thing about Ethereum with those giant fees. Those giant fees impact a lot of people. In fact, local cryptos put out this big long tweet storm where they said that it's screwing a lot of our customers, because we have a lot of customers in Venezuela who have all these cheap mining rigs that are just mining off of the cheap or free electricity, and they're selling like $20-$30 at a time to feed their family, and they can't do it now. And just like, if you want to sell $20, but it's a $21 fee, it's just no good. But most people, and all the actual legit DeFi applications of Ethereum, obviously, you know, you're not going to be paying those exorbitant fees or things like that. But because it's the spin, you just, you know, spin, let's try to make some money off this stuff. People don't mind with the whole fee thing. So do you have any bullishness on Ethereum 2.0 scaling or anything like that?
I think ETH 2.0 is a meme. I don't think it'll ever happen personally. I went and saw, I saw one of the developers, there is a Chicago development team in Ethereum, and I saw them speak in, I think it was August 2018, and he was explaining like his vision for sharding and all of that that's going on. And like, I had to raise my hand. There was 100 people in the crowd, and I had to, you know,
predict you're going to be hated for whatever happens next.
Oh yeah, no, the whole, like, you could hear the chuckles, because I was instantly like, you know, you just took like the 51% attack, you know, problem, and you turned it into, and I said my math might be wrong, but I think now we're talking about a 31% attack to divide the network, and then you can do, and the guy's like, well, and I could tell he had seen what I had seen, and he was trying to talk his way out of like that glaring hole in what he was talking about. But the crowd was like, basically like, boo.
Like they didn't want to hear it, because you're messing with their gains.
Right. And I'm like, guys, like this is crucial. If you're talking about, and they were talking about, a global computer to manage global finance, like, you can't have it be this wreck of a thing that even, like, I'm not even particularly technical. It was just literally looking at his graphics and saying, hey, wait, you actually just made the entire network less secure. Plus, I hate the economics of proof of stake. I think proof of stake is what the old economy is built on. Like, banks are proof of stake. Like, we have all the money, so we make all the rules. And that's what stakers are. You can't give that kind of power, because you're creating a bunch of little kings, basically. Yeah. And you'll never get above them. And they don't have to provide any value for that stake, which is why I'm a huge maximalist for proof of work.
Yeah.
So I think Ethereum is bullshit. I think Ethereum 2.0 is bullshit wrapped in glitter. And
unicorn glitter, maybe.
Yes, I really do. Uniswap
glitter. I missed that.
Yes.
That one.
Yeah, that is, their logo is a damn unicorn too, isn't it? God.
This is kind of funny.
It's funny, but it's depressing, because like I really give a shit about this stuff, you know? And
yeah. Well, let me cheer you up briefly. Before I do that, I guess say something semi-depressing maybe, which is Litecoin is at close to 100,000 transactions. And for those who haven't been paying attention, earlier in the year it was around 20,000 a day. And then recently it's gotten more to the 30 to 40 range. But then the last couple of days it's been like just picking up. And I think a lot of this, so local cryptos, for example, supports Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin. And Dash is coming very soon. In fact, they had a Twitter poll. Basically, they wanted to add Dash, but they, again, this is, you know, this is uneducated jackass talking. Don't actually get mad at me and think, hey, I didn't say that. It's really, oh, okay. They had a Twitter poll, or I think it wasn't a Twitter poll. They had a poll saying, which should we add next? And then Dash was like overwhelmingly winning up until the very like last couple days. And Charlie Lee tweeted about it, the asshole, and then barely edged out. And so then they're like, all right, well, we're going to add both, but Litecoin has to come first, because we're honorable people here at Local Cryptos. And we said, we're going to add whoever has the poll, and we did it. And so I'm pretty sure a lot of that is not specifically them, but a lot of it could be. But a lot of other services just, you know, it rolls downhill, right? The stuff rolls downhill. And so I remember in 2017, Bitcoin unusable. Ethereum was going through its cat phase and was also unusable. And then the next Coinbase option, which I'm sure it was more than just Coinbase, but a lot of it was Coinbase. I'm not saying it was Coinbase, but it was Coinbase. Then Litecoin's like 10,000 or whatever transactions went to over 100, it got up to like 200 something thousand. And the fees, the median, not even the average, the median transaction fees on Litecoin were in the several dollar range, just because everyone spilled over to the next thing. And I think that's what, I think we're having Litecoin is like DeFi spillover right now. Like people can't move things around. So they're like, we got to have a cheap token. Let's not use, work something usable. Let's just do the next old steady. And so it's funny that even in this hype thing, and if you look at the various values, it looks versus economic activity, Litecoin is significantly, I hate to use the term undervalued because I don't think it's undervalued, but compared to the economic activity, it's very undervalued because people still don't believe in it. They don't think it has a future of development. They're kind of shorting Litecoin all the time. And so, but despite that, it's like the free market, you know, real use is coming through in this age of sadness and scam filled misery. And I want to do another bright spot and real usability. So there was this new initiative launched by Dash Core Group called FastPass, which basically says, hey, all these services that recognize Dash's special features like instant send, chain locks, things like that, we're going to put them all, we're going to call them all FastPass partners. We're going to put them all on a single page. So if you're like an arbitrage trader, you know, you can just go here and you know that all these services, you can have your deposit finalized in like under 2 seconds, as opposed to waiting for half a day for confirmations or whatever. And then now you can start building on that network effect from that kind of thing. So that's sort of a trying to be real usable kind of an approach. On the other hand, it's also right now more targeted towards traders, which is kind of I would say like, I'm not going to, you know, it isn't, but I'm going to be funny about it and say it's like an admission of defeat that like you tried to build a usable product for end users. And at the end of the day, you have to cater to traders. At the end of the day, you have to like, you have to make the money where the money is. And then eventually people will be buying their coffee with it.
Sure.
And now this goes back to the, what we call the regulation debate type thing. Mm-hmm. We got Kraken. We got, all your banker belong to us. They got a bank, or they got banking in Wyoming. First off, how much have you read up on this?
Just a little bit. I read, I think it was probably CoinDesk or somebody that put out like the initial release. So I don't know the deep ins and outs, but Kraken got a banking license. Cool, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is it's one of those things where the average crypto person is really excited about this. It's huge. Sure. Like now we got
legitimizing their bags. Yeah.
Yeah. Legitimizing their bags. Here's that too. Expanding access to the old financial system to the new financial system, like bridging, making that less of a jump. That's all good stuff. It's kind of funny because first off, this seems to be the, do you remember when Litecoin owned a bank or something? Because like Charlie Lee bought some stock in some German bank or something weird like that.
Yeah, I do remember.
It's kind of like the real version of that, you know, which, you know, the real version, like there's the real version, there's the Litecoin version of most things. Right. Like, you know, privacy innovation. You could say, like, I'm a big fan of Zcoin and the Lelantis, the new kind of thing that they're figuring out for privacy. And then, of course, there's the Litecoin version, which is all just, anyway, I don't want to, this is where I think I'm getting a little bit too far in my smack talking. So we'll pump the brakes on that one a little bit, but yeah.
All right. Get yourself beat up.
So
man.
When you were back in the, when you were in the early days of crypto, how much did you and your peoples, you and your fellow crypto people care about banks as far as like when you're getting into crypto in like 2012, 2013, 2014, 15? Just like, well, one day we're going to have our own crypto bank. Did you care?
No, zero.
Yeah.
Like to me, it was like, I mean, it was sort of like trading video game money. Like that was the idea in my head, was like, oh, this is like, if I could take, you know, tokens out of a video game and buy real shit with it. Like that was the beauty of it. It's cash, but not government cash. And I was definitely an ideologue as far as like fiat currency and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I looked at it and said, oh, this is great. Like we can immediately set up an economy that functions outside of the banking ecosystem. So to come full circle and be like, hey, this is great. Like, you know, all these exchanges are becoming banks, which is something I've been predicting. I don't know that I've got like time stamped videos where I've said it, but I've been saying it about Coinbase for at least a few years now that like, oh, they're clearly heading that direction. Like they're just going to be a bank because that's how people are treating crypto anyways. Like, that's my savings account over at Coinbase. I save these, these coins, like, I don't even know if they're physical, but I got some, you know? And so we got all the, you know, idiot normies that have turned it into, you know, their other savings account.
Yeah.
But no, at the beginning for me, like I specifically, my first Bitcoin transaction ever was to me in exchange for me doing a printing job for somebody. So for me, it was cash from the get go.
Yeah.
And we were using it, not a ton, but we, you know, if somebody would accept it for payment or whatever, like vendors, employees, whatever, like we'd pay them in Bitcoin. And that was just like, hey, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like a cash job. We literally just treated it as if somebody walked in and said, hey, can I pay COD? I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And that's, my first Bitcoin was for pizza. As of course it should be, sure. You know, as God intended. And right. So that's kind of funny that like the crypto bank, both the Kraken thing and the Coinbase acting as it and other exchanges becoming the crypto banks of the future.
Yep.
To a certain extent, it's like a turning over of the same system. The same system, now the new system becomes a lot like the old system, but I would say like 80%. There's still like the 20% innovation and cool, like... Sure. New part. And so I'm kind of a little not like skeptical, whatever. Yeah. But then there's that, you know, I still think I understand it. It is what it is. It's
right.
And it's a huge step forward for crypto as far as, you know, acceptance and as far as, you know, the future value of our packs. And so all that kind of stuff. I'm going to say it's a definite good, but it's a good that I'm not super interested in for its primary things. Well, it seems like it's a good time to wrap it up. Now's your chance for the epic shillstorm of the podcast where you just, what do you do? I'm sure you're going to talk about crypto traders or something else. What's new and exciting for you and tell people where they can go for it?
So, you can find me in a few places. CryptoTradersPro.com is our main business entity. It is an educational group, not a signal group like many people would assume it is, but my job is I actually teach the fundamentals of blockchain and Bitcoin, and do fundamental analysis of, you know, macroeconomics and stuff like that. But in the group, we've got various professional traders, people that are professional investors. We talk about short-term trading versus long-term investing, and certainly discussion of like, hey, this chart looks like it's going to pop, or hey, this looks like it's going to be a big pump and dump. If you ended up getting the token airdrop to you, you might want to sell it over the next 72 hours, that kind of thing. But it's really just a community to tune out the noise. There's about 300 members. It is a paid group just to keep the Sybil attack away, basically. So that's a good place. I write for CoinGeek at CoinGeek.com. I'm one of the featured authors over there. I don't write a ton. They have me do sort of long thought pieces, basically. So I'm an editorialist on big block Bitcoin stuff, BSV specifically, but I talk about, you know, whatever else is going on, basically anything that's based on Bitcoin, and that kind of thing. And you can find me on Twitter and everywhere else where I'm pretty active. But if you really want to get my attention, get on Twitch, send me a Twitch chat encrypted private message.
Yeah.
I'm user 292. I was the 292nd member of Twitch, which is well over, I think they're probably 15,000 users at this point, but
I'm on there too.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So if you enjoy this, subscribe wherever this is to get more. cointr.ee/thedesertlinks if you want to throw me some money, give me a message, or hit any of the other links that are there.
If you're not, he doesn't have a bank account.
Exactly. If you're watching this not live, there will be a bunch of links in the description on how to sign up for NordVPN, sign up for Library, so you can have decentralized content, get paid to search with Presearch, and I can't remember if that's all of them, but that's, oh yes, bitrefill.com. You could live off crypto pretty easily. That's how I pay my phone bill. You can shop at Amazon, Walmart, all kinds of different things. All those links will be in there. Thanks so much, Kurt, for this good time.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was the first inaugural voyage of the HMS Digital Cash Rundown. And we did not hit an iceberg or go into the frothy depths. So
interesting that it's a British ship.
Yeah, I thought I'd just, you know, U.S. Everything's too U.S. based these days anyway. I'm showing Mr. Worldwide, you know?
So, long live the Queen.
Yeah. All right, so thanks everyone for watching. Subscribe, because this will happen again at some point, probably in 2 weeks. We might do every other week. If you animals love it too much, we might do every week. So peace, guys. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the podcast, subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and donate to support the show by going to my Cointree page. That's cointr.ee/thedesertlinks, and leave a message with your donation. Check out the show's sponsors. Protect your privacy online with NordVPN. Avoid content censorship with Library. Live on crypto with BitRefill. Get paid to search with Presearch. All links are in the show notes.